You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Ready to stand out? Army ROTC prepares you not only as a college student, but as a strong leader, allowing you to earn the rank of second lieutenant. You will be eligible for full tuition, merit-based scholarships, and develop leadership skills essential for your future. Start strong and enhance your college experience. Visit your campus Army ROTC representative today. To find out how you can earn up to a full tuition scholarship, visit goarmy.com/podcast to locate your closest ROTC program today. Army officers inspire strength in others. Paid for by the United States Army.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
There's nothing more predictable in life than the unexpected. Lightning will always strike. Hail will fall on roofs. Fortunately, there's AAA. AAA has been helping members stay prepared for over 100 years. So when unusual storms, fallen debris, or sudden leaks happen, you'll be covered. Check, check, and check. Get the home and auto insurance you need by talking with a AAA insurance agent today. Visit AAA.com/insurance or stop by your local AAA store.
This is Joanne Jenkins, CEO of AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, and we are here actively supporting you and your community. Every day, we're providing trusted information from top health experts, sharing tools to help protect families from fraud, and creating resources to support family caregivers everywhere. As always, you can count on AARP to advocate for you and your family. Join us and stay connected at aarp.org/coronavirus.
As a small business owner, you deserve more. More confidence, more connectivity, more of the tools that help your business thrive. And at Cox Business, you can expect more from us. We don't just have sales reps. We have perfect plan identifiers, people who will work with you to make sure your business gets everything it needs and nothing that it doesn't. Your business deserves more, and that's why you can expect more from Cox Business. Call 800-526-8572 to switch today.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
And he's Ordy Packard. We are live on KLRN Radio, and this is Juxtaposition, our every fortnight foray into the strange, the unexplained, and the unknown. Hey, that was not bad for a riff. I'm just saying.
I
should write that down.
Yeah, it's also been a long time since we had that particular intro, because we had been doing the spooky one for Halloween, and then we really only had one show in November before we came into this. So, yeah, no, that's Hey, how you doing?
I am doing all right, man. Actually, I am enjoying a Christmas present sent to me by our only bar babe. She sent me some drinkware, so I am currently sipping on a triple of some rye whiskey in the new drinkware that she gave me.
Nice.
Yay.
Nice. I made myself a eggnog latte with a floating little captain on top. So
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you know, having a K-Cafe where you can sit there and make your own cappuccinos and lattes and shit, I'm just so bougie now, it's not even funny.
I have a coffee ninja, so I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone is like,
so,
wait, how's your what kind of coffee pot do you have? I have a coffee ninja. You 1%er. Whatever. Whatever.
So I want to get this out of the way because we may, in case we run long, I don't want to forget. And that is, 1 week from tonight, we are doing the KLRN Christmas special group reading of A Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, we have to throw the Charles Dickens in there now because there's like 14 different versions of that stuff now. So,
right, because you got the Muppet Dickens. You got you get Scrooged.
I don't know. I'm thinking G.
Yeah,
is
so anyway,
I'm thinking G as Gonzo would have been pretty cool though.
Well, you know, he does love the chicks, and so that was bad. Dad joke.
Hey, for coming off the cuff, it wasn't terrible. I mean, it was at least Fozzie Bear worthy.
Yeah, well, there we go. Waka waka.
See what I did there?
So, nice setup. So, okay, this one, you and I kind of like, you know, changing gear, getting right into it, because we do have some two kind of big ones, time travel, one's this combination time travel haunting EVP time slip timey wimey thing. So yeah, we got to get into these because these are both new to us. They kind of just fell right on our face like a clumsy stripper.
Speaking of timey wimey, in preparation for this show, I have been rewatching Tenet era Doctor Who. So.
Excellent.
When you said timey-wimey, yeah, I was like, probably, oh my god, he's even channeling Tenet. He doesn't even know I've been watching it.
No, I didn't. That's perfect. So, the first one, you know, let's do the modern day one, because the other one, there's a whole lot of story with it. I don't want to run into a break.
All right, so we'll do mine first.
We're going to do the TikTok. Yeah, we're going to do the TikTok. You're going to do yours first.
So, yeah. So anyway.
We are going to.
So, this I actually found by accident. I think it was because Wardy and I were messaging back and forth about time travel, and all of a sudden this showed up in my feed. And I was like,
because that's the way technology works. You talk about something with somebody, all of a sudden it's all over your phone. You don't believe me? Mention stacking milk coffee next to somebody, and they'll start getting ads on their phone. Anyway.
Yeah, the key is make sure you're leaning in next to someone else's phone so they get the ads. But anyway, I didn't say that part out loud. All right, so anyway, again, this just kind of dovetailed into a topic that he was already kind of wanting to talk about, and I'm like, okay, I guess this is fate's way of saying we need to do another time travel show for sure. So this guy is calling himself, he actually has a TikTok account where he basically says that he's a time traveler from 2027. And he's been posting videos all over TikTok to say that proves that these will prove that I'm a time traveler. The reason we thought this was important is one of these things is supposed to happen in like the next, what, 4 or 5 days at this point, and then the next one is supposed to happen on Christmas. So the two.
Yeah, this isn't me joking like I was the other night about, you know, the Mayan calendar guy just being dyslexic. And, you know, because that's actually in 2 days and then the other one a few days. But, yeah, no, this next one's supposed to happen in the next couple days. And then the big event on Christmas.
So, yeah, so just to kind of go into this, an earlier TikTok post, he said the big days remember for centuries and changes how humans live. This will 100% prove that I am a real time traveler. Don't forget the date the social media user claimed online. Additionally, the time traveler claims countries known as Sweden, Norway, the United Kingdom, and Finland will unite together in 2027, creating a massive powerhouse. The TikTok user said it would inspire similar countries to want to join. Hang on, I think I missed something. Where did I go here? Where's the rest?
Well, one of the other ones, I mean, while you're finding that one, one of the other predictions he made, too, is December 20th, 8 humans receive superpowers from energy waves from the sun. So, again, these are all things that are, like, going to be happening real quick. Then on the 25th, something really big is supposed to happen.
Yeah, well, the bigger one was the one I was looking for. Now, suddenly, the story is not wanting to give it forth.
Yeah, no, that's further in the future in 2027. Sweden, Norway, the United Kingdom, and Finland, which isn't real, will unite together and create a massive superpower. You know what? They did that 500 years ago. I don't see that happening again, especially the way Europe is now. But, you know, since Finland isn't real, maybe Finland will become real. And yeah.
So, yeah, well, actually, I mean,
are you with me now? Are you back?
Yeah, no, I'm still here. So, I mean, honestly, the two major dates that he talks about are that one, and then there's the one in 2 days, and then he keeps referencing a huge event that's supposed to happen on Christmas, but it doesn't ever really explain what the event is that I can find anywhere. And then there's another significant date. He says something about August in 2022. Let's see.
Yeah, there will be a 35,000-year-old bunker will be discovered in Argentina, and it'll have many secrets inside of it of ancient times, technology, hidden codes, and more.
Nice. So, yeah, this guy is talking about things that are going to be happening fairly, at least in two instances, fairly quickly. So we'll know really quickly if this guy is, like, on mushrooms or an actual time traveler. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, There'll be a day in 2022 around the same time that the bunker is found, all of the skies across Earth will turn bright green in color. I think that's actually happened in the past due to a comet tail. And also that the Los Angeles Lakers will defeat the Brooklyn Nets in Game 7. So, you know, it's kind of like this kind of has shades of John Teeter to it.
Yeah, I mean, so, the interesting thing is, you know, the reason for the sky turning green in this particular instance is apparently there's a planet that's not too far from Earth that's supposed to explode that's full of green rocks. I think he's quoting Superman at this point.
Well, the moon is made of green cheese.
I think he's quoting Superman
think
at this point. Green rocks? Hello?
Yeah.
So... the man who believes he's a time traveler from 2030 claims he has X-ray proof of a device implanted in his hand. This, he insists, helps him jump dimensions for secret missions. The self-styled time traveler... honestly, he's not the first person that's mentioned hand implants either. I didn't have time to go back and find it, but there's a video. There's a videography on Tubi that talks about a guy from further out, and he has a device implanted in his skin as well. Just to go into this one a little bit, even though I don't have the source material, I have a pretty good memory. So anyway, this guy claims to be from like the year 3320 something, says that he managed to come back because he was the last survivor of Earth, basically. And the interesting thing is this guy actually appeared for several different interviews, and the guy that interviewed him managed to convince him to let him into his house. He got DNA material. So this guy is talking about, you know, coming from a time where where things were, well, not like that. But anyway, jerk. But so he's talking.
I'm not judging.
He's talking about coming from a time where, you know, human hair didn't grow because everything was so radioactive. Because he made a comment that, you know, the first pictures I saw of you, you had absolutely no hair. Now you do. He said, where I come from, hair can't grow. The air is too toxic. And so he started talking about all these metals and everything that are in his system that wouldn't be present for us. Not only could they find no record of this man anywhere, they tried to run his prints, they did DNA sampling, everything else, they could find no record of him anywhere. He actually did have blood samples that they said were not anything that were, I don't know the exact word they used, but anyway, just it was definitely not something that would have been considered anything that would be normal. Now, a couple months after his interview, dude disappeared. So the guy that interviewed him went off to try to find him. Turns out there was a missing person found a few months later with his hand chopped off, and he was burned. the hand that was chopped off was the same one that supposedly had the implant, which was verified by x-ray, by the way, that there was something in his hand. They just never could figure out what it did. So, yeah. So, yeah, those are the two things that really, after you sent me that first story, and I'm like, you know, and then I saw that on Tubi, because I was like, and then I found this one. I'm like, you know what? I think this is Faith's way of saying we need to do time travel again. But yeah, so you'll know as well as I do here in a couple days, folks, if this guy's full of crap. Because if he's not, there's going to be like 8 superhumans. Just saying.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some of his other claims is that, you know, that he insists that he, that the implant in his hand is what helps him do jump dimensions, and it's for secret missions, and. Yeah, he said the reason why he's here is because he went back in time but got stuck in the wrong year, which is every time traveler story. Except John Titor, you know, he stopped by to visit family on his way back to get that IBM computer, and which the next story talks about the same era computer. But he also talks about when he was up in 2714, he's predicted that there will be a human fish species and alternate universe will be found. And you know what? I always said, that goddamn movie with the fish porn in it that would eventually lead to human fish hybrids.
Well, you know, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. But yeah, he also says that he believes that there are 3 teens who will open a portal to an alternate universe using T-Rex dinosaur egg in 2020, this month. So, and in February of next year, he says the fabled city of Atlantis will be found in the Atlantic Ocean, and that will become the home of the new human fish hybrid species in 700 years. So,
I blame Aquaman.
Got a lot going on. Now, here's my thing with this, is that, you know, and I made this comment recently, is that a really good doomsday cult will put the events far enough out in the future to where you can get maximize on your grift, but soon enough to be scary. This guy's just dropping trow all over current time, and God, you know, let's hope he's right, because we need even more weirdness. Most people are still coping with 2016. I need more. It still hasn't gotten weird enough for me.
No, dude. So here's my thing. I have a bad feeling if this guy's right, and there are suddenly 8 humans with superpowers, I have a feeling it's going to be more like the Amazon Prime show than the Marvel Universe.
Oh, the Boys?
Yes. I have a bad
feeling. That's a great show.
I have a... Well, yeah, I mean, great show, but bad premise.
No, great show, good premise, just bad people. But you know what, and that's... We've talked about that. Totally derailing for a minute. We've talked about, you know, that's kind of the cool thing where they gave these superhumans in that show. They're just normal people. You know, they've got all their flaws and their, you know, neuroses and everything else too. And, you know, people are generally dicks. So, of course, if you're a superpower, you're a super dick. It just stands to reason. Anyway, getting back to the show.
You know, just because you went there. Granted, keep in mind, I've only made it into about the 3rd episode of season 1 because I just couldn't do it. I'm actually considering going back and finishing watching now that there's another season. But I, you know, after turning it on with some of the guys in tights, I was wondering which one of them actually uses their superpowers as a porn star. Just saying. Just saying. Just saying.
That's actually touched on. So. But yeah, okay. So we have the self-styled time traveler who's all over TikTok now, and Yeah, you should probably go check out his stuff. I mean, it's, if anything, give him the clicks for being creative and fun and, you know, not just being your normal dancing white guy or whatever on there, which, what's with that trend? One time traveler.
Yeah, go find him, give him clicks for fun, and then now that you know, then once you know where to find him, come back and roast him if he's wrong.
You know. Yeah, and if he's right, then great.
If he's right, he won't have a TikTok feed in for 2 days because they'll kill him.
Yeah. So, but getting on to the other story, you want to take a break first?
We might as well go ahead and take the break early because that way we don't run into one.
Yeah, because a lot going on this one.
Yeah, there's more going on with yours than there was with mine. So, Give me just a second. I wasn't prepared.
I feel like I should be doing the Michigan J Frog thing. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was trying to think of something different to play, and I wasn't prepared.
Well, what can you do?
Not much, except for a little something to go with it.
All right.
Half the theory.
What do you got?
Half the theory of time travel is all about, you know, raging against the machine. So we're going to kind of go with some Twisted Sister on the way out. We'll be back. That's all I had, folks. Work with me.
We ain't going to take it. Oh, we're not going to take it anymore. We've got the right to choose it.
There's nothing more predictable in life than the unexpected. Lightning will always strike. Hail will fall on roofs. Fortunately, there's AAA. AAA has been helping members stay prepared for over 100 years. So when unusual storms, fallen debris, or sudden leaks happen, you'll be covered. Check, check, and check. Get the home and auto insurance you need by talking with a AAA insurance agent today. Visit AAA.com/insurance or stop by your local AAA store.
This is Joanne Jenkins, CEO of AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, and we are here actively supporting you and your community. Every day, we're providing trusted information from top health experts, sharing tools to help protect families from fraud, and creating resources to support family caregivers everywhere. As always, you can count on AARP to advocate for you and your family. Join us and stay connected at aarp.org/coronavirus.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Ready to stand out? Army ROTC prepares you not only as a college student, but as a strong leader, allowing you to earn the rank of second lieutenant. You will be eligible for full tuition, merit-based scholarships, and develop leadership skills essential for your future. Start strong and enhance your college experience. Visit your campus Army ROTC representative today. To find out how you can earn up to a full tuition scholarship, visit goarmy.com/podcast to locate your closest ROTC program today. Army officers inspire strength in others. Paid for by the United States Army.
As a small business owner, you deserve more. More confidence, more connectivity, more of the tools that help your business thrive. And at Cox Business, you can expect more from us. We don't just have sales reps. We have perfect plan identifiers, people who will work with you to make sure your business gets everything it needs and nothing that it doesn't. Your business deserves more, and that's why you can expect more from Cox Business. Call 800-526-8572 to switch today.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
I was out of time. I didn't have time. Anyway,
Rebel Radio.
Tried to work some time jokes back in there. Not really working very well, though. All right, so anyway, welcome back to the program. I'm Rick Robinson. He's Wardy Packard. This is KLR Radio. Typically, you hear a lot of folks talking about politics and fun stuff, and this is our every other week where we take a break from the normalcy and the politics, because lately, I don't know about you, but that's been driving me crazy. And then we talk about things like this. So tonight, we've been talking about time travel. So the first part of the show, we talked about the gentleman who claims to be from the year 2027, I believe. Or was it 2037? 2027?
Something like that.
Says there's going to be 8 superhumans created in 2 days, a massive event on Christmas in 5 days, 15 days at this point. God, I almost said 5 days. Like, holy crap, do I really have to shop that fast?
Yeah, not ready. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I haven't even started Christmas shopping yet, just so everybody knows. But anyway, so we're into the next part of the program. This one was one that Ordy came up with, and so we're going to let him take lead for the most part, and I will chime in when I can. So why don't you tell folks what you ran across, sir?
Sure, yeah, but before I begin, though, I got to give comment of the evening to Buck and Chad, who said he's drunk driving the shit out of his recliner. So, by the way, if you don't hang out and chat for any of the KLRN shows, you really, really gotta, because there's some great crew in there, and there's always fun stuff going on. It's always not always talking about the show, because they'll get on their own tangent, but,
that's some of the best
stuff. No, always, we got some of the best chatters. So, anyway, this one, this is, known as the, Dalston Files, and the story comes out of Dalston, UK, and it's from back in 1984. And the crux of this story is, okay, if you weren't around at the time, or if you were, but you, home computers weren't really a thing yet. There was the VIC-20, Commodore 64, you know, some early Apples in the U.S. And in the U.K., Margaret Thatcher founded this huge UK computer literacy project where Acorn Computers got together with the BBC to create a computer called the BBC Micro. Yeah, and it was kind of like a Tandy met a Commodore 64 with an Apple IIc screen. It was very, you know, just to give you kind of an idea what it looked like. And it was a fairly powerful computer for the time. It had a good operating system, and the BBC channel, because if you understand how everything works in BBC, you don't own your equipment, you just lease it. So, you know, your set-top box, your TV, everything, and in this case, the computer as well. The BBC would have TV shows to help people how to use it, and one of the cool features of this is, separate from its own operating system, it had these EEPROM chips that you could put in that would expand it out, and one of the more popular ones for word processing was called Edward. And we kind of, you know, Ed Word. Clever. So for educational word processor. So, and a lot of these were given out to schools as part of the literacy project. A lot of them were leased to people's homes. And the story begins with a teacher in Dalston whose name is Ken. And he was a high school teacher around there. And the school was at the center of this program. So they were flush with computers to the point where they were letting teachers lease some of them out to take home so they could practice on them and, you know, help teach the students with it. Well, Ken, he was living with his girlfriend at the time, Debbie, and then they had a friend, Nick, who was living in the studio because they had kind of a recording studio in this little cottage they all lived in. And so he brought the computer home, mostly so his friend Nick could work on English scripts that he was working in, you know, some plays and some literacy projects, things like that. So he set it up in the studio, and his friend would dick around on it and everything. And one day, this was close to Christmas 1984, they all decide to go to a friend's house for a bit, and they left the computer on, and it was on its main boot screen, not in the Edward program. And this is where the story starts to get strange. Like I teased earlier, this is where it starts to become kind of a time travel ghost story with some EVP and other paranormal activity around it. And that when they came back, like I said, they left the computer on the main index screen. It was actually in the Edward program, which you couldn't just kind of like bump a mouse or something that didn't exist at the time to get into it. And Ken was curious to see what Nick had been working on. And he found a file in there called KDN. And in it was the following text. Ken, Deb, Nick, true are the nightmares of a person who fears safe are the bodies in the silent world. Turn pretty flower toward the sun, you shall grow. And it goes on with this very flowery poem. And given this wasn't something that Nick would have created, they figured it was probably a prank of theirs from their friend John, who would stop by every now and then. He was kind of known to do things like this. And they didn't think anything much after. So they returned the computer, and then back in February 1985, they leased out another one from the school. And again, one night it was accidentally left on. And this time there was a file called Re8, kind of like Create without the C. And in it was a very lengthy series of just a stream of consciousness written in Old English. And, you know, it would be like if someone from the 1600s were to notice they were suddenly viewing the contents of a 1980s home and viewing it all with a medieval mindset, talking about the electric lights and how that was only a thing that the king or a friend of his would be able to own. And he was very insistent that he thought someone had stolen his house. And he signed the document LW. Now, this went on, you know, for a while, and it was kind of, obviously, Ken thought, hey, this is strange. And while this was also going on, there would be footsteps heard around the house. There would be, like, foot impressions in, you know, where nobody had walked, and in the furniture and things like that. Chalk drawings and words all over the house. It was really kind of paranormal activity going on. And so Ken, he was, as this was going on, you know, he dismissed a lot of it. But then he was telling these stories to his coworkers at the school. And one teacher named Peter Trender was, became curious because what Ken was describing, this was very specific language to the 1600s. And you got to, again, this, you got to remember this is before the internet. So it's not like you could just go and dig up these words. This was, you know, kind of the thing that you would have to specialize in as your trade during that time. So the English teacher, you know, his interest was piqued, and, you know, that's very specific language to a very specific time period of the 1600s. And another person who was interested was a guy who was just living in town. His name was John Cummings, but he was a lawyer in London, and he encouraged the trio to reply. You know, just say, hey, why don't you type back into that LW character and, you know, see what you get. So they wrote back several questions about the time that LW lived in. Who was the king? Was it Henry VIII or, you know, who was it? What was the town still called Dodson then? What did he do for a living? Things like that. Who was Edward Grey, the rich friend that he had spoken of? And they left the message on the screen, and then they went out to the pub for a bit. When they came back, all of the questions were answered. He was talking about the home. He asked if the trio still used horses in the future. But a lot of the things that he talked about when he was talking about the king and that were inconsistent. You know, because it's like, you know, if it was, you know, because he said it was King Henry VIII, and who was foreign? Well, if he was 46 at the time, it couldn't have been 1521, like you said, because Henry VIII was only 30th. So that kind of built up the pranks, you know, they were being pranked again. But it's still, and there was some modern grammar tools used, like question marks and brackets that aren't really used at the time. But Ken kept the computer for a while, but the idea of the scripts, they were long gone. This was just totally just for this conversation with LW in 1521. And throughout all the conversations, LW still made it very clear that he thought that the trio was trespassing in his house, thought that they were stealing his house from him. And at one point, in kind of like an angry script, he let name that his name was Lucas. And then later, through more, it was Lucas Wainman. And finally, everybody's going, aha, names that we can start attaching to people. And while this was going on, the other teacher, Peter Trender, was doing his own investigations to trace the words that were being used. Like I said, this was before the time of the internet. So you would have to, like, you know, well, what the way English has evolved in the last 300-400 years, very difficult to track what this word meant 400 years ago versus what it means now, if it's even being used now. And the sentence construction and the combination of the words was able to be chased back to the Cheshire period during Henry VIII's reign, as L.W. had described. So, through the course of these conversations, Ken wrote back, saying that he was 1985, and then Lucas, all of a sudden, he popped up thinking this whole thing was a lie, because he was told by the friend who gave him the Leams Boist, which means box of lights, which we can only assume would be another of the Beeb computers, that he was from 2109. So Ken decided to write back to 2109 with a short message saying, calling 2109, and that was it. A few days later, he got the reply, we are sorry that we can only give you two choices, that we can either have your predicament explained in a non-rhyme way where you have instant understanding but cause which should not happen, or try to understand that you have purpose and there should be lifetime changes to fate and history. We of 2109 must not affect your thoughts and some of your guidance and allow you room for your own destiny, but you will be a historically important person. And then this kind of opened up. So now we're communicating with two time periods, with distinct usage, very distinct difference in the way the language is being used between all three of them. And 2109 even admitted that they changed the way that they were seeing the language coming from LW because it wouldn't have made sense, and that's why there was modern punctuation in everything. So this was, that's, like I said, there's this whole three-way conversation going on at this time. And then things started to get really paranormal around in the house, like not just like with the stacking of things. Deb came home one day. Cats didn't want to have anything to do with her, and all the furniture was tossed and stacked in the living room. Just like some kid had been flicking around furniture in a toy house and then decided to pile it up in the middle. So you with me, Rick?
Yeah, I'm still here. No, trust me, I'm listening. Okay. I'm listening.
All right, okay.
I'm as enthralled as everybody else is.
All right. So while doing her own research into things that were popular to research at the time when it came to paranormal activity, Deb came across, started studying ley lines, and she discovered one running right through the middle of the cottage. And so with that, they decided to approach the Society of Psychical Research, which would be kind of like the UK version of NIDS, which is Paranormal Investigators in the United States. Yeah, no human would stack books like this. So the SPR showed up at the house, and they typed in a list of 10 questions for 2109. And then to make sure that it was kind of double blind and that Ken and Deb and nobody actually saw it, they typed in the questions and then they deleted the questions with the instructions to Ken and Deb. If you get a response to this, let us know. A couple days later, they did get the response. And 2109 was kind of pissed off. They answered the questions but said, look, you know what? Your little game, don't play, go play your little games with somebody else. This is real. This is happening. And we don't appreciate you kind of doing that. So, and that's when it got into the news. And once it got into the news, it kind of soured everything, where the townsfolk thought that they were practicing witchcraft, and there was a whole bunch of tabloid stuff, and it got really uncomfortable for them. And that's kind of where the story starts to falter out, that without giving too much of it away, which I know is a weird thing to say when we're doing a show on it, but at one point, Thomas Harden, who was the dean of Bres and Rose College in Oxford in the late 1530s, comes into it, and he's kind of like the ghost in it. That's what it gets pretty strange from that point, even to the point where it's like, I don't know if I can. Everything is really fascinating in it, but it's just kind of like it's starting to get comical at that point.
I mean, the whole story is just, I mean, so the first thing that stood out to me, you know, after, you know, watching the video that you sent me and then finding the other article that I sent you is the differences in the spelling, like words that are spelled completely differently today that are just like have extra letters and just be double consonants and all these things. And that was the first thing that stood out for me. This whole thing is just, I mean, you know, somebody already said it in the chat. If this is a hoax, somebody put a lot of time and effort into it because you got, like you said, this is 1984. They would have had to have done lots and lots of research to figure out how people talked back then.
Well, and another thing, you're talking about the hoax angle. Yeah, I mean, not just that. And there was a BBC program done on this where they got, you know, people who, you know, scholars who studied the language at the time, and they said, you know, this doesn't make, you know, you can't, like, change, you can't make up your own verbs. You know, as you know, people will say, you know, thou dost and I do and so on and so forth, but you can't mix those. Kind of the same way that we can't mix verbs in modern language. But, and that was kind of, even before that happened, that was explained away by 2109 saying, you know, I changed the language so you in 1985 would be able to understand it. But still, you've got somebody from 100 years in the future, 120 years in the future, who is trying to use 1984 language as well. So, and that's why it's kind of like, okay, so I'm trying to cast back 600 years to make it sound credible to somebody 100 years in the past while using a language I still don't completely understand myself from 100. You kind of get the whole where as the language evolves, you know. And that, you know, another fascinating thing. Yeah, translator go boom. Another fascinating thing about it is that all of this comes from a book called The Vertical Plane, which was written by Nick 4 years after the events. So, and that's not really something somebody who's trying to cash in on the moon, because all the hype behind it is gone. It had already been through all the newspaper stories, you know, the joking ones from, like, you know, The Independent, a ghost is haunting my computer, or 16th century ghost is haunting my computer, you know, things like, so everybody had, got their yucks out of it, and then he writes a book, and it didn't seem like, I mean, that's the kind of thing you strike while the iron's hot if you're perpetrating a hoax, and like you say, like they said in chat too, if this was a hoax, it's so elaborate that, I mean, you would have had to have gone into it with all of the foreknowledge of how they spoke at that time, how language will likely evolve into the future. It seems like a hell of a lot of work for something that had very little profit in it. Especially since nobody wants to have anything to do with it. You try to contact Ken now, he said no, it's the wrong Ken. Ken and Deb appeared on video once, but they didn't show their faces. And everybody else who was involved is just kind of vaped.
I mean, my whole take on it, again, is if this was a hoax, there was an awful lot of work put into it. Also, you know, just, you know, not to bring this point home again, if dude was really trying to perpetrate a hoax, why did he wait until so far afterwards to write the book?
Right.
The whole thing, I mean, just the details involved. I mean, look, I get it. People are creative. They have great imaginations. And you know, I mean, we've seen really great stories told on Netflix that seem believable, and you're like, yeah, but still. But this one, I mean, look, the simple fact of the matter is, it would be really hard in 1984, with the level of technology they had, to get enough of how the language actually worked 400 years earlier right, to make it somewhat believable. Yeah. I mean,
And right, and, you know, and they did put in a good caveat, you know, they throwing in 2109 to, you know, unscrew any language discrepancies. You know, again, if you're doing the hoax, that was pretty smart. But a lot of the theories of how this happened, you know, say it wasn't a hoax, say it was just a prank. This is before the internet. And yes, okay, those of us who had computers in 1984, yes, there were dial-up connections. You could go to BBSs and you could go straight computer to computer, but
that didn't usually happen without you knowing about it. There was all kinds of steps involved.
And not just that, it's not like you could just hook up to somebody's computer, because all of us remember the old modem handshake.
Oh, God.
Right. Yeah, I still wait. I wake up to that sound in the middle of my sleep sometimes, screaming. So, yeah, and it's like Jeff just said in chat, you know, most hoaxes do not rely on deception to prove a point. And this one is, you almost need it, you know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, whether it's, you know, time travel, whether it's more like the method, whether, I mean, yeah, just, I think the ley lines play an interesting point because.
It really did, too.
I wonder how much of this might not be tied to that because we know that ley lines do some crazy things.
Yeah, and you know the 2109 they did mention in one of the questions from the Society of Paranormal Research. You know, one of the questions was, "Are you are you beings of light?" To which they replied, "Yes, we are tachyon beings." Which you know, that I'm like, okay, so I don't think we're going to be evolving into the ascended. You know, be evolving into pure energy within the next 100 years, but you know.
Yeah,
any number of things.
That would be one of the thing that would be like, yeah. I mean, you know, at that point, it would have to be further out than that. That I mean, unless they figure out an artificial way to do it, which I don't see that happening.
Yeah. So. but yeah. So I mean, it just I just found the whole. I mean, the only one who's really stuck around in this one is Peter Trender. And he was, if you remember, he was the English teacher. And like I said, while almost everybody else has left out of it, his only contention is, you know, where what he's staying with is the English is proper. You know, it is from the time. We know who these people were. We have researched them. Every one of them has been identified. This person did live in that cottage in 1521. This person did work at this college. At the, you know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's just the amount of research to perpetrate this hoax and to have it center around the brand new piece of technology du jour at the time. You know, I mean, you think about it, put that in American terms that, you know, Benjamin Franklin is communicating with you through a Commodore 64.
Dude, I had a Commodore 64. I would have loved that to happen. Just saying.
Yeah. This one, like I said, it gets a little clownish towards the end of the story, but that's only because the media gets involved. The media fucks everything up 100% all the time. And until that point, it is an absolutely riveting story. And I'm going to drop the video in the chat for you guys to watch out and at your leisure. Because I just stumbled across this. This came up as a recommended, and I was just watching some creepypasta from Nexpo one night, and this popped up in my recommendeds, and I immediately sent it to you and Jeff. You guys got to check this one out. So,
yeah, I watched.
But that is the story of the Dodson documents.
Yeah. So, you know, again, just you know, we've talked about time travel before, and one of the reasons we wanted to do this, not only because this story was kind of interesting and it centered, and the stuff I found was, you know, December-ish, but not only at the same time, this one kind of was the juxtaposition trifecta. It had everything.
Right.
Time travel, ghost stories,
everything. You got paranormal, you got, you know, creepy technology, you got, yeah, spiritualism, the occult. All of it.
And again, I still, you know, we talk about it, you guys decide. But I have to say, in a couple days, we'll know if the guy that I found is full of crap. And as far as your story, I really think there might be something there. I don't understand what the significance is yet, but at some point I'm sure we probably will. And I still think that somehow the people from 2109 managed to tap into ley lines to make all this stuff work, and it's why it all centered around that one cottage.
And I can definitely, yeah, you know, it's as the time travel stories that we've covered goes, this one, because of the elaborateness with which it would have needed of the time, you know, I mean, this isn't like, you know, I mentioned John Teeter earlier. John Teeter, he was a time traveler phenomenon tied with the Art Bell Show and early internet forum postings on CompuServe and Usenet and things like that. His story, he hit the timing right where the information was there to where other people could research it and, you know, kind of like, you know, bolster his claims. And, you know, it's like when he talked about that IBM computer, you know, they could go back and go, wow, yeah, no, that was a little, that was an undersold feature of that particular computer that it could do this, you know, and, you know, that kind of thing. This is, this had to stew for 10 years before, before, you know, people could widespread research it. And to let you know, I mean, again, this book is so rare and out of print that the from the video I watch and from some other people that I talk to it, they're paying up to $150, $200 a copy of it for it on eBay. And that's for just some shit, pages missing, ripped up pocketbook version of it. That so, again, whoever ran this hoax, they didn't make dick for money out of it.
Kind of makes you wonder why they would have done it, huh?
And nobody's name is attached to it. Nobody wants to have anything to do with it. So, I mean, it's not like the estate of John Teeter who's fighting over money and the rights to the website and everything else. This is just nobody wants anything to do with it. So that doesn't say hoax to me.
No, I mean, honestly, that's
yeah, Jeff said he found it for $500 on the eBay store.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that makes it the more plausible for me is, you know, even the people that were principal in it now are like, yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's not like, you know, we talk about it all the time on the show, and Jeff talks about it, and you know, Mickey talks about it, is that, you know, we're now, culture is accepting of this. If you are going to, like, want to revisit this hoax to try and, you know, get some cash out of it, now is the perfect time to do it, because you will have people to listen to you. There is an entire culture on the internet that believes Finland isn't real. So,
well, you know, it's interesting, and, you know, not that it has anything to do with what we're talking about right now, but I saw a post today from somebody that I have known through social media for 20 years who has been an avid, you know, UFOs don't exist, it's all a hoax, blah, blah, blah. With everything that's now coming out from the government and all the different reporting stuff that's come in and the oversight committees they've come up with and everything else, he's like, there's got to be something there. This is the time for this kind of stuff, because whether we like it or not, there are things that we don't understand and there are things that we don't know. And this, and at this point, for the government to start being this open about it, where they're actually starting to set up avenues for people to be able to report things without risking their careers, and oversight committees to keep up with it, and all the different things that are starting to spin up behind the scenes. I mean, we did one of the very first episodes of Juxtaposition I did was, when did this become mainstream? Because somehow I missed the memo. And this is another example of this. This is the perfect time for stories like this, because we're finally starting to come to terms with the fact that there's more here. I mean, you know, not to quote Shakespeare, but there's more in heaven and earth that suits your philosophy, Horatio. Or something. That's a paraphrase, but, you know.
Sure. And again, talking about one of our earlier shows, too, is that, you know, with the Pentagon releasing the gun camera footage of the Tic Tac and, you know, other, you know, naval encounters with UFOs. And, yeah, I mean, if you're going to do the hoax thing, now is the time to do it. Because you've got, I mean, you know, like, it's on Tucker. It's on everything. And one of the things that really drew people to Art Bell back in the day was that, you know, he had a philosophy, and this is kind of why he picked George Norrie, because George Norrie got it too, in that it doesn't matter if you believe him, they believe it. So respect them believing it. And much of culture now, we've gone too far with a lot of things, you know, of being accepting of absolute dumb stuff. But when it comes to things that just can't be explained, now we have the technology that maybe can explain it. So maybe, you know, invest in it a little bit. Give those people your time and a couple bucks and you see what they come up with. Ghost Hunters was great for that. A lot of Ghost Hunter was, you know, cringy and eye-rolly, but still, I watched a lot of that show, and there's stuff that I looked at and going, okay, That was the production crew. I don't know what the fuck that was. And so it really opened my mind to that, too. And being as close to Area 51 as I am opened my mind to a lot of that long ago. So
somebody changed my name. Jeff, I'm not sure I like you anymore because I'm pretty sure that had to be you. Anyway.
What's up?
So I typed in chat, and I just realized when I typed it, it says Rick is not real. I didn't put that there.
Oh, shit, man. That's been weeks. You haven't noticed?
No.
Ever since you came back. Ever since you've come back, that's been you in chat.
I hadn't noticed before. Anyway. But, well, I think the only reason it stood out today is because for some reason when I typed it showed up as yellow. Usually it's the same color as everybody else on the opposite side of the screen. So I don't think I've ever noticed before. But anyway, so Jeff actually brought up a really good point. The thing about the last story is physics is starting to prove such an idea could be possible, though still somewhat unfathomable for it to happen back then. And that's when I typed and noticed that he had changed my name, that not if the future was involved somehow. So the question is, if they were, why?
Yeah.
I mean, so this is the question that I have to ask as we start coming into the last couple of minutes of the show. Somebody from 2109 apparently went through all the time and trouble to give this man in, basically the 16th century, a computer.
Yeah, 1521, yeah, to give him a computer, which he also made the comment, this was also, I found interesting, he didn't type in the computer. So how he got input into the computer, he had the screen to read back, but he didn't have a keyboard. He didn't have the rest of the computer. He just had the box of lights. So how his thoughts, his voice, his ideas got translated into the computer is interesting, which I think brings ley lines back into play.
Yeah.
No one was a time traveler. Don't you watch SG-1. God, GR. So, yeah, he had the Alexa remote.
But think about it. If it's a computer from 2109, it's quite possible he was speaking into it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be. It was just always assumed that he had a BBC micro. So.
I don't honestly think so, though, because, I mean,
but I did.
You have to admit, for him to call it a box of lights, That computer would have really only had one light. It would have been the screen. For him to call it a box of lights, it leads me to believe that it was something that probably had lots of blinkies.
Mm-hmm. Jess, they said that they wouldn't interfere with the timeline. So that's why they weren't solving crime and they were just screwing peasants. They're like teasers from...
here's my thing.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the
Galaxy. So they're telling us because their whole explanation to not really explain to these folks what was going on is we don't want to mess with the timeline. So you don't want to mess with the timeline, but you go from 2109 to 15 something to give a guy a computer.
I think, but the way that they described that though, that was in order to give Ken and Deb and the various friends who moved in and out through the story a different perspective on life because they would be important in the coming days. Which, again, kind of takes me away from the hoax thing because nobody who is told they're going to be important in the coming years just fucking bugs out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you've been given all these amazing things that have happened to you to mentally and emotionally prepare you for you being Neo. And... then you just kind of go, you nope out. You just hop on a nope rope and go.
I mean, that does happen, though, in real life. Like, people that are like,
well,
not to chalk that up, but I mean, that does really happen. People that are like in really, you know, situations where they could be like the next freaking, you know, hero or like, nope, I'm out. I'm done.
Nope.
Nope, not going to happen. Nope. But honestly, knowing it in advance could probably make it even worse because then they're looking at everything they've ever done wrong in their life and going, "I'm supposed to be some great figure." Nope, I'm out. I can honestly kind of
but
see
even
that happening.
Then they didn't know what was coming. They just knew that they would be important.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I seem to. I mean, to
no,
me,
I'm getting it.
Well, I mean, to me, it's Max of Terminator. You know. The whole Sarah Connor thing where she realizes that, you know, she's responsible for basically trying to save the human race, and she goes nuts.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks, Sarah. Fucking nutball. Anyway. That was a good show. I had fun with this one.
Yeah, it was great. I love these kind of shows because we just kind of get lost in it. And it just, you look up and the show's over and you're like, what the hell happened? But yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. It's up to you, folks. I mean, you know, as far as Ordy's story, the jury's still out. As far as my story, we'll know in a couple days.
Right. We'll know about the time that we're doing the KRN A Christmas Carol. Live on the air. You know what? That's the important event that's going to change history.
Yeah, and we're involved in it.
And we're on. Yeah, we're right.
I missed the last one. I didn't finally get to listen to it, though. You guys were funny as hell. But yeah, I actually get to be in this one, so I'm excited.
No, that last one was just, it was so much fun. Mickey did a great job. But so this next one coming up, it's going to be 8 p.m. in the East, 8:30 in the East, 5:30 in the West, a week from tonight. Then 2 weeks from tonight, Rick and I, we talked about it Wednesday night, in that we're both blessed enough that we have our families around us, and we neither of us really have Christmas traditions to keep us occupied on Christmas Eve. So, and we know a lot of you don't have that. So we decided that we would do our next juxtaposition on Christmas Eve. We are going to do some myths and history of Santa, the holiday, little Krampus, and
Jeff, Krampus is ours this year, bro. Step off.
But yeah, so we decided we're going to do a show Christmas Eve, and we'll be doing it live because we love you, and you love us, so
hey,
why not?
Know, Rooster does have an interesting point. The Mayans didn't know about leap year.
Well, you know what? They didn't know about that 400 years that got fucked out of the time too, because some pope decided he wanted to be the pope during the millennium. So 400 years just got written off the books. Yes, that was a previous juxtaposition, by the way. Look it up.
We tell you the things you need to know, whether you realize you need to know them or not. All right, so...
Or whether you even wanted to, but yeah. I'm going with the Mayan dude had dyslexia, so we're either going to find out in 2 days or 11.
Yeah.
Also, one more thing, too. Today is the 10th anniversary that I lost my father. Carl, you were a great man, and you were missed.
Oh, man, I'm sorry about that, bro. Honestly, speaking of, they're not listening, but I'm still going to do this anyway. Two of my best friends have birthdays today, and one of my cousins has a birthday as well. These two ladies are actually probably part of the reason why I'm still sitting here today. Ashley and Lisa have been people that have basically sat by my side text message-wise and things like that. While my entire world fell apart. And I didn't realize it until today because one of them was out of my life for a while, but they both have birthdays on December 10th. So I just want to take a moment, even though they're not listening, to say happy birthday. Because if not for them, I probably wouldn't be here right now. And that is the God's honest truth, because this time last year, I was just about ready to just be done. Literally. Just saying.
Dun, dun, dun.
But anyway...
Whenever I hear done, I just go dun dun dun.
I'm
sorry.
I wasn't offended. It's okay. I know you.
Okay.
We've known each other long enough. I wasn't upset. All right, we're gonna get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. That's gonna do it for this particular episode of Juxtaposition. I'm Rick Robinson. He's Ordy Packard. He'll be back with you Monday night. I'll be back with you. Wednesday for sure, and then again on Friday next week. Jen and I have talked first of the year. Jen and Rick is coming back come hell or high water, so things are going to start returning to normal one way or the other. In the words of Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan, be excellent to each other. We'll see you when we see you. We're out.